Well, good morning, Westwood Church, and welcome to our first worship service of 2022. Kind of hard to believe, and it's actually a great delight to be able to not just be speaking to folks who are watching in their living rooms, but to have some of our congregation join us right here today to celebrate some of the testimonies of faith and the baptisms that we're going to be participating in just a few moments. And so thank you so much for being able to join us, and this is a really, really significant time as we celebrate and we begin a new year. I think it's a wonderful way to begin a new year, and so we're glad that we can do that. So as we participate in these baptisms, it would be helpful for me to take a couple of moments and explain what exactly we're doing, and so that you have an understanding as to this practice that we call baptism. Jesus, when he left to go back to God the Father, said to his disciples that they were to continue to do the work that he had started, to make disciples of all people, all nations, all backgrounds, younger, older, and then baptize them and teach them everything that Jesus had commanded them. And that is a big task, and it's the mission of our church. It's the timeless, ageless mission of Westwood Church to make disciples. And we do that in many different ways. We do that in our families, or we should be doing that in our families with our children and with our spouses. We should be doing that with our coworkers and our friendships. We should clearly be doing that in the life of the body of Christ in our church family. And so we make disciples, and that's helping people to discover who Jesus is and then to obey everything that he's asked of them. And that the result is a transformed life, a life that looks very different than probably what we see on a day-to-day basis. And so today we're going to hear a couple of testimonies of folks who are being discipled to know Jesus and to love him and to follow him. And these folks are going to be making a couple of declarations as they share their testimonies. Part of the discipleship process with this baptism involves going into water and being dunked or immersed in water, which is representing what Jesus has done for us inside, in our hearts. And so Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, has forgiven us for our sins. We do not have to pay for our sins because Jesus has done that, and we receive that forgiveness from Jesus, and then we declare to follow him as our Lord. And so with baptism, part of what we're declaring is this, we're saying to the world that we're washed because of Jesus, and we want to surrender to him. It's a dying to self and choosing to walk with Jesus. And so that is, it's a big, big deal. We don't take it lightly. And that's why we kind of even explain what it means, so that people actually understand that this is not just something that we're just kind of, it's a tradition or a rite. It's a declaration of a person's faith. And then secondly, as a part of our faith tradition as Mennonite brethren, when we're baptized, we're also declaring that we are a part of the body of Christ, which is represented in the local church. And so God has left the church and many different forms all over the world. Westwood is one of them. But the church universal is best represented in the local church. And so we are also declaring that we are committed to the body of Christ, where we can be discipled and disciple others, where we can be accountable to other people and other people can be accountable to us, where we can walk alongside doing life as we help people to discover and follow Jesus and be the disciple that God wants for us. And so that's a little bit about what we're doing here today. And so today, I want to invite Colin Dunlop to join me in the tank here. And I got to know Colin earlier this year, and he has come to faith over this last year, even amidst all the different challenges and restrictions, and that's exciting. And so we're going to hear a little bit of his faith story and then baptize him.
Oh, Hello, everyone. I'm not exactly the greatest at public speaking, but I'll try my best. Growing up, I grew up confused because I did not know what to believe in. I was growing up in a non-religious household. It wasn't until I reached maturity and started having to fend for myself, as the saying goes, that I started growing curious. Is there something more? I'm now proud to say I know the answer to that question wholeheartedly, indeed. Growing up, I had the struggle with validation. I wanted to matter. But I was seeking validation from all the wrong sources. I was trying to seek validation from other people, forming relationships, trying to matter to other people. Until I listened to a very special sermon from somebody I got to know very well. And he told me through that sermon that I matter to our Lord, I matter to God, and I should seek validation from him. And that was basically the stepping stone that pushed me into the person I am becoming today. I've experienced a lot of growth. I feel that I've become much more humble, more teachable. I feel more complete, less bitter. I've always been kind of a bitter person, a curmudgeon, as some people would say, but I feel more centered, I feel more relaxed, I feel more positive about things, because I know that some problems I can't be fixed. I can't fix my problems myself, but I know that God can help me with those problems. Constantly, I'm always encouraged. Any problems I have, give them to God. He will make them right. And anytime I have a problem, I'm reminded of that. Give my problems to God. He will always make them right. And I feel confident and proud to say that He does make them right. He makes everything perfect. He makes everything beautiful. And I am very, very thankful to God that He has helped shape me to the person that I am now. And it's just an incredible gift that He gives us to be able to all come together and to praise Him, knowing that He loves us and wants us to be together, to grow, to be with Him now until the end of time. Thank you.
Yeah, there. I hope you can hear that applause. Do it, like, applause a little louder. Here, there you go. All right. See, it's, yeah, thank you so much, Colin. And God's at work. And I've just been so blessed to be able to be a part of your growth over these last year or so. And excited to baptize you. So, Colin, let me ask a couple of questions. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sin?
Yes, I have.
Is it also your desire to walk in this new life that you even described even just a moment ago, that this new life that you're becoming?
Yes.
Is it also your desire then to walk in community with the body of Christ, which is the local church?
Yes.
And based on the confession of your faith, and because Jesus has commanded it, and you've requested it voluntarily, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray for Colin right now, too. You can tell I'm reaching up because he's a lot taller than I am. Perfect. Awesome. Now I feel better. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the work that you do in people's lives. And we can't put it in a formula. We can't box it up. You work according to your will and your good pleasure. And so you have drawn Colin to yourself, even over these last months and year, and you've been at work in his life for a while, and he has surrendered to you. We are so thankful, and we pray that you would continue to do the deep work that you have promised and that you have already begun. And so we commit him into your care, and we ask that you would go with us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, thanks so much. I'm going to ask Pastor David now to come and join in the tank with Trinity Bailey, one of our high school students.
Nice and toasty. All right. Good morning. I'm Pastor David. I'm the youth pastor. And joining me shortly is Trinity. She is one of our grade 12 youth. And she has chosen to get baptized today. Come on down, Trinity. Come on down. So she's going to share her testimony here. And this is a really, really cool for me. I was there. I'm new here. But I was there the first night that Trinity came to youth. And it's been so cool to see her along her journey. And yeah, would you share us your testimony?
Yeah, okay.
Great. Right
up. Oh, it's too tall.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. It might be a little long because, yeah, it's kind of long. Anyways, so basically, I'm just going to put this away for a second. I kind of grew up in, like, a non-Christian family, so my mom didn't really support Christianity, and, yeah, my siblings didn't really talk about it. So, anyways, I kind of found out about God because, like, I went to my grandma's in the summer, and we would go 2 weeks, like, for 2 weeks each summer, but we lived kind of far. We lived in Alberta, and they lived in McLeod Lake, so it was pretty far. But every time we went, my grandma would do her best to teach us about God. So we would pray during meals and stuff, and I really enjoyed it. It was like, I remember every time we would leave her house, I would cry, like, so much, because I just enjoyed being there. Like, it was, like, the best part of my whole year, because when I went home, I didn't have much to look forward to, because, well, like, my mom, living with my mom was kind of difficult, because she was, like, really abusive and stuff, so she would, you know, it wasn't, like, a good environment for me. And so, yeah, I mean, going to my grandparents was super awesome, and learning about God, I kind of had that seed planted in my head, just because, yeah, otherwise I wouldn't have really known about God if I hadn't had that connection with my grandparents. So it was really a blessing to be able to go there in the summers. And then, I mean, I kind of grew up, we didn't really have support in that area. And then my dad, I didn't really have him around when I was growing up, just because him and my mom weren't married when they had my older sister and I. And so he kind of left early on, probably when I was around 3. He went and had a different family. And so I kind of felt resentment towards him for that, but I didn't really have any feelings. And so, yeah, my mom kind of told me about him and kind of made him seem like she kind of vilified him. So I didn't really know any better than to not really like him. So, yeah, and then I guess I'm going to have to pull this out because I have to organize my thoughts a little bit. Oh, the ink smeared. Anyways, so I think, well, one of the times that God kind of was working in my life especially was when after a while, like, there was a couple situations with my mom and stuff, and it was getting really hard. And, I mean, it's always been hard, and it was really hard with her, but we were living down Victoria Street, and we had just, like, moved back to Prince George from Mackenzie and stuff, but we had moved a lot, so I was kind of used to it. And we were living in this really crappy kind of house, and it was in the hood, so it was really sketchy, and I was really at a low point because I just, like, my mom was drinking, and she was doing drugs and things like that, so I had kind of just become kind of, like, living through the days rather than just, like, thinking about what was going on. And my older sister would take care of my younger sister and I, like, she was our mom, so yeah. And, like, while we were living there, we had something happen, and my mom, she got mad, and she, like, I ended up with a black eye, and we left, and we went to my sister's friend's house because we had to call the cops because it got really out of hand. And so, I mean, unfortunately, the cops were called, and that was good, but we all kind of hid. We were scared because my mom kind of brainwashed us into thinking that if we got taken away, we would be separated and that would be it. We would never see each other again. So, and then we went to my sister's friend's house, and the cops kind of, I don't know what they did. I think they sent a thing to Mackenzie, so we weren't immediately, like, being helped. And so it took a while, but my Uncle Adam, so my dad's brother, he came, and he got us and brought us to my aunt and uncle's house. And I remember being super scared because, like, I was, like, terrified of being at this new place. And, like, I didn't really know my aunt and uncle that well just because we were only able to see my grandparents, like, a couple times a year. And whenever we went there, we would see them. So it was really scary just being in a different environment and everything. We went from there. And then we weren't sure where we were going at that point, which was also scary because, I mean, you kind of want to know what home you have, but we didn't really have a place. So I thought maybe I would go to my mom's sisters in Alberta, and their family is a little... they're not Christian, so I had to think about it a lot because I was on the fence. I didn't really want to, you know, like, I didn't want to be a Christian and do all the hard things that sometimes we have to do when you become a Christian. And I thought it was a set of rules, and I was just not willing to go in and do that. So, so I had to think about it long and hard, but, I mean, choice to go. Is it cutting out? Yeah, it is. Okay, we had the choice to go to my aunt or my aunt and uncles, and then I just made the choice, and I was like, you know, I'm going to stay here, because I don't know what it was at the time, because I really wasn't torn, because I didn't know them that well, so I was like, oh. So, but anyways, I think it was definitely God. He pushed me to, you know, stay around, and it was a good choice because I would have never been, well, I wouldn't be here right now getting baptized if I hadn't made that decision to stay. And I mean, it's probably one of the best choices I've ever made because it's opened up so many opportunities, and my aunt and uncle are super supportive, and they, like, love me so much, and I really need them because, I mean, I never had parents, proper parents, so... Thanks. Is it not working? Is it working? Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. It's working. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, it was a great choice in the end. And I didn't ever, like, think about it afterwards. After I had made the choice, I wasn't like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have, like, come here and stayed. I never once regretted making that choice because I knew that it was the right place for me. And so, you know, we started talking about going to different schools and stuff. And I started going to Cedars, which my aunt could tell you I was reluctant at the start because I didn't want to do an extra CP class. So, I mean, but that class is pretty cool, so... So I started there, and it was really, I was kind of used to moving schools, so I just didn't really kind of care. I kind of had my one friend, Faith, and I was good, I was set. The summer before the summer before I went to Cedars, my dad passed away, unfortunately, and it was really hard on me, and I kind of just, because I didn't really know him, but I wanted to so bad. And he had a long history of drug abuse, and I knew about it, but I kind of had a feeling it might end that way, but I really hoped it didn't. But sometimes those things happen, and I mean, God has made me stronger for it, and so I went to Cedars and I made some new friends, which was cool, and I've been going there since grade 9, and I went to camp this past summer, which was super cool. It was definitely an experience that I needed, because I was able to share my testimony and see some kids that might have been in the same situation as me who got to learn more about God, and it was really nice to give them that opportunity. It was really sad seeing them leave too, because they would cry, and I kind of knew how it felt, because it was kind of like being at my grandparents learning about God and then, you know, leaving. But this up to this point, I was meeting with Davey and Pastor Rob, and we were talking about baptism. And when I was 14, actually, I wanted to get baptized, but then I chickened out because I was like, I don't know. I remember a conversation with my aunt, though, and she was like, it's going to come back. And I was like, no, it's not coming back. And now here I am. So she was right. It did come back, and I'm more than happy to do it, because I know that God has done so much in my life, and not once did I completely lose faith in him, which is crazy, because there was a lot of points in my life where I didn't feel like he was there or listening, but I always knew that, like, God was real. There was a lot of hard times, but, pretty much that's my testimony. In a nutshell, it's way longer than that, but that's the short version, so, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So, Trinity, do you confess that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and that you've entered into the new life that he has to offer?
Yes.
Great. Do you commit to the community here at Westwood as your church?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And do you commit to live your life for God for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Amazing. So, by the power of God the Father, by the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Whoa. Okay.
Let's pray. Yeah. All right, let's pray for Trinity here. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Trinity's life. God, I thank you that, Lord, just all the answered prayers, God, of all her family. God, for the whole journey that she's been on, it's such an encouragement to us as a church family. Lord, I pray that you would bless her with more and more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would continue the good work that you've started in her. And God, that, Lord, I thank you that she is a light, Lord, on wherever she goes. And God, I just ask that you would just bless just the journey that she's on. And we're so thankful that Trinity has decided to get baptized today. And Lord, we thank you for her and her family. In your name, amen.
Well, for those of you who are here, you may be seated, and if you are standing at home worshiping with us, feel free to have a seat as well. And again, I just want to say thanks to Trinity and to Colin for taking that step of faith, sharing their testimonies with us, which is always a little bit nerve-wracking, but it's an important part of our journey and our walk with Jesus, and to kind of take that step of faith and to start walking in even deeper relationship with him. That's just really, really awesome. So we have folks who are part of Westwood Church family over the years, some who have been attending for a long time, some maybe a short time. They've come to us because they've either moved to town or they've found a church family here at Westwood, and we're grateful for folks like that. Many folks have been baptized before, but they come to a point where they say, yeah, Westwood Church is our church family, and we wanna say yes. We wanna be counted on and look to be a part of the body, to belong in every way possible. And so this morning we've got John and Mary Schlamp who want to say that to you, who want to declare that to you. And so they'd like to share a little bit of their faith journeys. And I've got to know them over the last four and a half years or so as just really really deep deep and dear friends, and I really appreciate you folks, and have loved hearing your story before, as we've sat in your shop, John, and sat around the kitchen table, and today it's an opportunity for you to share it with your church family. So, Mary.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I've got it. I was born and raised in Vanderhoof in a very large family. We were a family of 14 children, seven boys, seven girls. My dad said he wanted seven and mom wanted seven, so they had 14. We were raised in a very religious home. My dad was a pastor in a small old-type Mennonite church. He was unfortunately very abusive, and I grew up with a lot of chaos and dysfunction around me, which created a very fearful attitude towards life. But at about the age of five, my dad told us that we could talk to God just as we would to a person, and I found that totally exciting. That started my path to wanting to walk with God and to know him. And although I didn't have the assurance of salvation, I wanted so badly not to walk in fear anymore. It took years for me to not see God as an angry, vengeful being and to accept that he is love and always acts in love. I met John when I was 17, started dating at 18, and married when I was 19. It didn't take long for our marriage to run into some serious problems, and in under 2 years, I was actually planning to leave with our seven-month-old daughter. But God intervened, and John's cousin invited us to revival meetings by the Sotera Twins in Prince George, and we went every day. And I remember being so deeply impacted by the joy that they had. I was used to pastors being very sad and sorrowful about sin, but they never got to expressing the joy that we can have in Jesus. And even though I was baptized at about 16, it was merely a formality. And the only thing I can remember is that I was chastised for wearing red slacks. Shouldn't do that again.
Love that part of the story.
It was considered a very sinful color. But we loved listening to the messages we heard, and I got that assurance that I had been searching for so long. We were then baptized on our faith and have walked with him since then. It is an incredible blessing to walk in unity with our family. We had four children, and our deepest heart's desire was and still is that our children walk in truth. One of the things that has always stood out to me is that God's word is vibrant and alive, even when it's being spoken by someone who is not walking with him. We've been attending Westwood for many years and somehow didn't ever quite get around to becoming members. But this last difficult season that we've all gone through and that we're still trying to navigate has really brought home to us how vital it is to have a home church and to do what we can to support and strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been reading and memorizing God's word for many years now, and I love how it never grows old or uninteresting, but is still just as vibrant and powerful as it was when I started to walk with him. We have now been married for, we will be celebrating 50 years this summer, and we love...
Thank you.
And if anything, we love each other in a deeper and stronger way than we ever have. We have 13 grandchildren who are the joy of our lives and look forward to great-grandchildren and to the years ahead. One of the verses that I thought was really impactful for me was Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame.
Thank you so much, Mary. Thanks for inviting us into your part of the story. So, John, you also want to share.
I want to?
Want to.
Okay.
I know.
Yes, wow.
takes me back a while. I was born in Vanderhoof. I grew up in the prairies. In this church that Mary mentioned, my dad was a pastor in the same church, so we were both preacher's kids. And I could never understand what they were saying. This was a part of the Old Order Mennonite church that the people had dressed in black. They love black. But you grow up, and about 17 or 18, like Mary was saying, was the time to get baptized. If you wanted to get married, you had to be baptized. So I got baptized. And it was nothing to me. It did nothing to me. I just obeyed my parents. And with my struggles, I moved back to Vanderhoof. I loved Vanderhoof. And lo and behold, here's this great preacher's kid that I met. And we got married, and we had our struggles, primarily because of me. And I didn't know which way to go. It was a mystery to me. But I was working for my cousin, and he was a believer. And he came up to me one day, and he said, "John, there's some great meetings happening in Prince George. This is a Satara Twin Crusade happened here at that time." And he had been there, and so he invited us. And that was very unique. I had never experienced something like that. And when the altar call came, I went down and did what everybody does, I thought, and I came up, and then nothing had changed, nothing was different. It happened again and again. In the last meeting, I remember, I wanted so desperately to have what these people had. And God opened my heart. And I remember it was in the Lions Church down the street here. And I remember walking up those stairs out of the basement, and how easy it was to walk up those stairs. That's where my life began. And Mary, having all this knowledge, she reads so much. She loves reading the Bible. And with her help, we met it. And so we rebaptized in our local church in Vanderhoof that we attended. And then we decided to move to Prince George. And because of my experience with the Lakewood Alliance Church, that's where we went. I kind of considered that my home church now. And we were there for 10 years, and some things happened, and we moved on. And we came to Westwood because Pastor Mel was here at the time, right, Mary? Yeah, and he was we knew him from Vanderhoof. He was from Vanderhoof, so we came here. And we've been here many years. And like Pastor Rob, I know, would ask me, he says, "Why now?" But I have to say that the year 2021 has been an exceptional year spiritually for Mary and I. And we felt God's nudging us to take this stand, to make this move, to support this church. And so we've been here 10 years, 20 years, 20 years, over 20 years. And so we're becoming members. And the reason So I asked myself this question, why do you want to do this, John? And I would have to say that I want to support the growing of this church. I've learned to pray this year. God answers prayers. I've finally learned that. And so I want to be a member of this church to support, to encourage, to pray, most of all, to pray for this church and be part of it in growth. Amen.
Amen. What pastor doesn't want to hear that? and amen and amen.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much for being honest and vulnerable. You know, I shared this with Trinity before the service and probably with Colin in the past. There's always somebody who needs to hear the story that you share, that Trinity shares, that Colin shares. And we never know who they are, but they're out there in the crowd. They're watching from home, and they need to hear the work of God in your life, and in Trinity's and in Colin's. And so thank you so much for being
Amen.
Willing to share that. And I'd like to pray with you as you've shared with us. So let's pray for John and for Mary. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much for just the unique pathways that you have for your children. You call people to yourself in unique and mysterious ways, and we're just awed at how that works. And so we say thank you today. We thank you for the work that you've done in John and Mary's life. We thank you for, even though the tough childhood and family origins, that you pulled them through that and you helped them to see you, a Father, a God of love and grace. And that they've been walking with you faithfully for so many years and being an example. Lord, we just love them and receive them and trust that you're going to use them mightily as they pray, as they encourage, as they support the body of Christ here.
Amen.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'll take that mic from you there. All right. Yeah, again, thank you so much. And like I just shared, you're watching, and I know that there is someone who needed to hear one of these testimonies today. And if that's you, you know, and you want to kind of process your own story or talk to one of us at the office or sit down with a pastor or you know, a disciple of Christ here at Westwood, we'd love to do that and help you take the next steps. Whatever those are, whether it's baptism, whether it's taking further steps in your marriage or commitment to the local church here at Westwood, we just want to help you with that. And so thanks again to each of the folks who have shared this morning. We're, you know, this really has been a service of celebration as we begin this year, and I hope that you have your communion elements before you. And if you don't, for those of you who are here, there's just the table behind you there, and you can grab your elements. And if you're at home and you need just a moment to get something to drink and a little bit of bread or a cracker, we want to come around the Lord's table together. It's been a little bit since we've shared in this, and that's important, especially when we kind of have a morning like today. And as I was reading through the story in Matthew chapter 26, where the familiar story of the Last Supper is shared, there was a word that kind of stood out to me today, which I'm sure I've read it before, but was a little bit unique. And it's the word celebrate. Jesus pulls his disciples aside, and he says that he wants to prepare the Passover meal as they celebrate it together. And then he goes on, and they gather together, and he shares about the bread and the cup. And so we get to the bread and the cup, and we focus on remembering what Jesus did for us, and the Last Supper really was the representation, again, of Jesus Christ going to the cross to die for our sin. he takes that and he talks about it in terms of celebration. And we sometimes miss that aspect and that emphasis. And so today, in light of what we've been experiencing, as we've been hearing stories of faith and God at work in people's lives, we want to celebrate this amazing work and look to him in even greater measure as we move into 2022. And so if you have your elements with you this morning, I invite you to take them. And I'm going to try my best with a mic in one hand and this odd cup with the wafer that I always have a hard time opening, and we're going to celebrate communion together, where Jesus takes some bread, and he breaks it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And then he also takes the cup, and he says, "This is the blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of your sin. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And so would you take your bread and would you take your cup, and let's just take a moment and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, we just are so grateful today for the work that you have done in our behalf. We don't have to do anything but surrender. And that is really, really hard. But thank you for reminding us even today of the stories that we've been hearing, that in each particular case, they came to that point of surrendering to you and making that decision to follow you, to receiving what you have done for us. As we eat and as we drink, we celebrate this great work, and we pray for more. Oh, Lord, we ask for more in this next year, that despite what's happened over the last 2 years and even unknowing and not knowing what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months, we anticipate the work of your Spirit continuing to go forward in greater and greater ways. And so we just commit ourselves anew as a church family to the work that you've called us to make disciples of all people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards each and every one of us and give us peace as we start a brand new year. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.